AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is Mackenzie, and on this episode of Honest to God, we talk everything binge watching. From Netflix to Instagram, we go through all the ways that our technology keeps us imprisoned through what we choose to consume and how we choose to break those habits that have become second nature in our world today. We hope you enjoy this episode, and thanks for listening.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Pumped to be here. Super excited. This is episode number 17,412 of Honest to God. It's hard to believe we've been on the air this long. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 13? Yeah. All right. 17,213 of Honest to God. We've been on the air for 40 years now, and we are pumped to be here this morning. Really excited to be here, guys. Really excited to have you here. We have got almost all new faces with the exception of Mackenzie. We couldn't let Mackenzie go. So she's our only veteran today. So those of you who aren't Mackenzie, we do this thing. It's cheesy and hokey and awesome. And we're going to go around and everybody's going to give us five facts about you. That doesn't matter how relevant they are to anything. Just give us five facts. One of them is your name. And we'll start with Julian.
Okay. My name is Julian Saviano.
Nice.
I was born in North Carolina. I've been to 22 countries.
That's cool.
I have three children, Grace in heaven, who is my wonderful intercessor, Caleb and Logan, and a beautiful wife named Rachel, who I've been married to for 12 years.
Killer. That's awesome.
Nice. I'm Thomas Clements. I have a beautiful wife, Christine, my four wonderful children, Anna Marie, Felicity, Joseph, and Noah.
Who I get to see every day or every Monday and Wednesday.
Every Monday and Wednesday. And they always have stories about you.
Good.
As well. And my fourth fact, I guess, is, you know, when you're driving and you know, the sun is like right in your eyes and you can't, you know, you're just trying to drive. I can't see and I don't like it. So that's number four.
hot takes with Thomas today.
That's great. Yeah. It's really bothers me. I don't know. Maybe I'm different from everyone else.
Yeah, that's out of the mold for sure. Yeah. I'm a big fan of driving straight into the Syrian sunset.
And then my fifth fact is when I was in grad school up at Franciscan, I got a phone call from a friend, John Henry, who asked me to pick him up from the airport, which I did all the way out in Pittsburgh. And he drove back over state lines to get back to Ohio. So we're close to home in Ohio.
I don't remember the story at all. I'm on pins and needles right now.
This is a good story. So anyway, I randomly get pulled over by a police officer for speeding. And John Henry turns to me and says, "Let's pray." And we do. We say a quick prayer as the police officer is walking up. Lower the window, give license, registration. He starts talking to me about how I think his brother or someone he knows went to Georgia and saw our license plate and asked me a little bit about Georgia, UGA and football or whatnot. Ends up giving me, just a warning, walks away. Does arrest me for all the stolen goods that we had in the back.
There were so many illegal weapons in the trunk of that car.
Yeah, so we got taken in for that, but not the speeding ticket, no.
That's awesome. I don't remember that. That's really cool.
It was so cool. Yeah, it's just like a powerful, I've gotten other speeding tickets in my life. Don't tell my wife, but sure. No, I'm teasing. She knows. It's just that was cool. Like that one time you just turned to me and said, "Let's pray." And
that's good story. Yeah. That makes me sound like a way better guy than I remember myself being in college. So I appreciate that, Thomas.
Well, you're a little bit older than the college years. I guess that was, you're still in college then.
Yeah. Up at Francisca.
Yeah.
Cool. Mackenzie.
Should I just give one fact?
Yeah, but it's got to be really good. If it's not good enough, I'm going to make you do another one.
Okay. My name's Mackenzie.
That was not good enough.
A really good fact. I am not a cat person. I really like dogs, and I do not like cats.
That's right. I like cats for utility. So we live on, we do like the working farm thing. And so we have cats that live in a barn, but they have a job. Mm-hmm. And they don't like me, and I don't like them.
Yeah.
And it all works out.
Yeah. I mean, kittens are cute.
Obviously.
But then that's,
yeah.
Yeah. Once they get older.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. Marissa.
My name's Marissa Bora. I am a high school youth minister. I studied rhetoric at Georgia College. Go Bobcats.
What? I don't know. They had like a, is there like a classics department down there or is it just?
It's part of the communication department.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Super I dig cool. it. Yeah.
While I was at Georgia College, I was captain of an inner tube water polo team for 2 years.
Yeah.
Best sport ever. You get to flip people.
That's cool.
It's that great.
Cool.
Fifth fun fact, I have Tourette's. So if you hear me clearing my throat, I'm not trying to get your attention. It's just a tick.
Awesome. So All right. Great.
Yeah.
And because today's an extra special day, we're celebrating the fact that because we didn't get to the number of subscribers when we did the fun drive, we're celebrating the fact that Ben does not have to shave his legs on air. We are going to let Ben do a fun fact and then tell us what we have to get to in order for him to shave his legs on air. Like, you can give us a higher number now. You can say 1,000 or something. But you got to give us a fun fact too, Ben.
So, okay. My fun fact will be that I own 7 swords.
Heck yeah.
Here are my swords in order. I have...
Yes.
Kidding. I'm not going to get through all my swords.
They have names.
My favorite sword, I'll give you that one, is my replica Master Sword from The Legend of Zelda. It's a great sword. I love it.
That's cool.
So this episode isn't coming out for like 2 or 3 months.
Sure.
So let's say if we're at 122 subscribers.
100. I like the random
number. By the time this episode comes out.
Okay. You're going to give me your sword? Your Zelda sword?
No, I'm going to shave my legs.
With the Zelda sword?
Yeah, with the
Zelda sword.
Zelda
sword, you swear? Okay, awesome. Cool.
That's
so
dangerous. Right.
Great. We're doing that on air. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. And can we say this is going to drop on a Saturday, right?
Yes.
Can we say by the Sunday following?
Yeah, that'll work.
You'll do it? Okay, yeah. So if you're listening to this right now, go right over to YouTube, subscribe. I mean, download our podcast, all that stuff. But definitely go over to YouTube and subscribe so that Ben will shave his legs with a Zelda sword. That will happen. I don't know what the rules are with the studio or whatever, but we will make that happen.
That's amazing.
I will quit. All right, and I am John Henry Spann, and I normally don't give a fun fact, but I want to sort of preface the whole show with an apology for myself. I got here, I came screeching in at like 5 minutes after we were supposed to be here today. I've got my two daughters in the car, or my two youngest daughters in the car. They're both barefoot. They're literally like dirty and wearing the clothes that they were wearing yesterday. Very like the Clampets coming in today. And I've decided that I'm going to form myself. I want to build my brand on being the bad boy of AM Catholic young adult radio shows that drop on Saturdays at 4 p.m. So very
perfect.
Yeah, think like Robert Downey Jr. in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's you,
regarding definitely. AM Catholic radio stations that focus on young adult topics and air on Saturdays at 4. Is it 4? 4:30?
Mm-hmm. 4.
Every Saturday. Yep. Check us out. All right, guys. So super excited about this episode. I think it's going to be kind of fun. As the resident bad boy of AM Catholic Radio, young adult Beautiful. Programming, we're going to be talking about binge watching, right? We're going to be talking about, and we can sort of open that up to whatever direction we want to go in. But I know that from my own perspective, we have YouTube, we have Netflix, we have Amazon, we have Disney Plus, we have Hulu, we have HBO Max. I pay for none of those. Big shout out to Mary, who lets me use her HBO Max, my mom, who lets me use her Amazon, my sister-in-law, who lets me use her Disney Plus, and so on and so forth. But I think it's a real legitimate problem, be it technology. I don't want to throw around the word addiction, but technology obsession, maybe, be it streaming services, be it video games, be it whatever. And I'd love to hear some of y'all's thoughts on it.
Sure. Well, I think it's a great topic too, because we think of the word like binge, like binge watching has become like such an accepted thing now, but binge, the word binge coming before anything else, we've kind of seen as like a bad thing, like binge eating, right? Binge drinking. Well,
can we define binge?
That's a great point. And I was hoping that we would do that. So I would think it would just be like excessive, right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely the connotation there, right?
Yeah.
That it is in excess in uh-huh. a way, right? When we think about if I were to define gluttony, if I were going to define sloth, right? Yeah. Both of those, food is good and rest is good, but an excess of them is an evil.
Yeah, and so watching something on HBO Max or Netflix or any of those things, just watching a show is absolutely fine, right? But then if it's to an excess where you're, it's hurting you physically, mentally, spiritually, it's getting in the way of, you know, the responsibilities you have, especially if you're a parent or you have school, or even neglecting your family, you know, in other ways, you know, if it's, you know, causing you to neglect your spiritual life.
Absolutely.
Which is, it, you know, can really be a big problem. I remember, so actually I recently, like, I've started to have an issue with sugar. So I've cut out sugar in my appetite tremendously. And what has happened is I'll eat a carrot and it tastes amazing. Like, I'm not used to, like, you know, and just
the, I don't want to call you a liar, but I feel like that's not true.
Carrots,
that's crazy.
Are super, all right, super delicious when you don't have sugar all the time and everything. Like, sure. I don't have added sugar. You know, I'll have ice cream occasionally, but.
Oh, because they are sugary, I guess you're saying.
So they taste really good. And so I feel like our experience of the world is being dimmed because we're being, our, you know, dopamine, we're getting tons of dopamine and, you know, excitement through binge watching and watching too much, or I guess using technology too much. And it's just such a stimulus that when we go out to experience, you know, the rest of the world, we get bored with other humans, or like you're walking through a, you know, field with beautiful flowers and trees and you're like, ah, well, I get more of a stimulus when I, you know, watch that screen. Well,
I love that point, especially from like a physiological standpoint.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're talking about dopamine, yeah, talking about endorphins, we're talking about all these things that are simulated in front of us through a screen. And normally we use that kind of language to talk about pornography, but I think it's absolutely, in terms of pop culture and action and the shows we watch, absolutely have similar effects,
yeah,
as well. Marissa, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think too, like, when you talk about binging, because I didn't know until recently, binge drinking is having more than 4 drinks in a night. And I was like, oh my gosh. Think about when you go to a wedding. Think about when you, even just socially drinking with friends, how easy it is to do that and how uncomfortable it
is.
Where
does that definition come from?
It comes from the, if you look up like the National Association of Alcohol, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact
name. No, it's
name.
Okay.
But yeah, if you were to Google it, like the official, the definition, mm-hmm, of binge drinking from those associations, that's how they define it, which is so interesting to me because we don't like to look at our own habits and think, oh, I have a problem. It's like, I'm well regulated in this, but it's very easy. And I would think, you know, watching digital content for more than an hour at a time, like in one sitting, would probably be how I would personally define binging.
Sure.
And that's so easy to do, especially on a weekend when you just want to like veg out, mm-hmm, or whatever. And
what if it's a football game and it lasts more than an hour?
I'm not going to comment on that because I feel like I'll get flamed.
Well, you're just being merciful to me.
Yeah, I'm going to put that aside because that may be different. If it's like a once a week thing, if you're just watching like for your team or a big game on like one day a week,
yeah, no,
if you're following all football and you're watching every game.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I'll take the anti-football stance. I'll say that if you're the kind of man, and because typically this is a guy issue, right, who sits down all day Saturday to watch all the college football games and is sitting down all day Sunday to watching all the pro ball games, I think that is emasculate. I think that you're not living out your vocation, your primary vocation to your spouse, or your secondary vocation to your children. You're not doing anything that's actually productive. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game. There is something wrong with obsessing over it. And something that I've talked about on the show multiple times is this idea that so many people today, they have their masculinity or their femininity defined by consumerism. Right? I'm a man because I do these things that I'm told to do, right? I watch the football and I buy this car or this truck or this whatever, and I define myself by these things that don't actually matter. I love football. I used to coach football. I'm all about football. Shout out to the Holy Spirit Cougars down there in Atlanta. But it absolutely can be done in excess. Totally. Julian.
I'm actually thrilled we're talking about this. I wrote an article in the Georgia Bulletin back in June about binge watching.
And perfect. That's why we only bring in the experts here.
And it's funny when you brought up football because I didn't even talk about that. I didn't think about that. But many years ago, I would spend the entire day. It would start with college game day at 9 a.m. Yep. Watch college game day, then watch the noon game, watch the 3 game. And now I try and just watch University of Georgia, go Bulldogs. And
it's a good season for them.
It is. It is. And I'll even try and step away at times. I don't need to sit there and stare at the game the entire time. And if it's the fourth quarter, of course, yeah, I'll get into that. But one of the things that I really recognized about myself when I took a long, hard look at myself, I loved The Office, this show.
Oh, yeah.
And when it was on Netflix, it was always on for me. And I could quote The Office better than the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
And totally. when I recognize that, I'm like, this is a major problem in my life. I should not be quoting The Office better than the Bible, and not even knowing stories about fake characters in a TV show.
Right.
Better than the Bible. And yeah, binge watching, it numbs the spirit, like Thomas was talking about, and you know, this is a great topic to bring up here.
Well, I want to move away too, just from the idea of binge watching. We don't have to just sit here and talk for an hour about how watching too much of something in one sitting is bad. But I think that to sort of zoom out a little bit, the bigger issue of technological obsession is a problem. I work with a lot of high schoolers, and it's so interesting to me to see how the things that they like and the things that they care about are, once again, going back to consumer, just sort of consumerist stuff that they're told to like and they're told to care about. And I think that that's an issue. I think when we're viewed, at least from the corporation standpoint, and I'm not knocking capitalism or anything, but I'm saying when you're viewed as, hey, you are a consumer, and what I want you to do is consume my product, and then as soon as you consume it, prepare to consume my next product over and over and over again, you're being reduced to a lot less than a human being. And if you're allowing yourself to do that and saying, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with X, Y, or Z, Star Wars, Marvel, whatever it is, I'm now done with this thing. It's time to move on for the other thing. I think it cheapens us. I think we allow ourselves to be cheapened. And I think it's an issue. Mackenzie.
Yeah. Going off like the, just like social media or just phones in general. And I think a lot of people my age, we find it as like this type of comfort. So it's something of like, if you're in an awkward situation or if you're in a group of people and like, you don't really have anyone to talk to, like you don't want to just go up and talk to someone. So people just kind of stand there on their phones and it's like, you're doing something so someone doesn't have to engage in a conversation with you or something like that. And so we use it as like the soothing kind of thing so that we don't have to go out and do things that are like actually growing us.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's comfortable, right? And it's what human beings we seek comfort, we seek consolation. And if we experience something difficult, then it's easy to, you know, go to the phone or, you know, go binge watch, you know, The Office, which you have to get Peacock now to do that. it's not on Netflix anymore. So we seek comfort. We seek what's easy because we don't want to push ourselves to go out and talk to other people.
Well, it is a comfort thing. I'm glad that you said that. It's a pacifier, It's a security blanket.
Absolutely.
It's a cigarette, right? We've had the same obsession with these things. Mm-hmm. We just let that go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With what you said, Mackenzie, I've noticed that in ministry, because like I said, I'm a high school youth minister. And when I first started, it was so shocking to me. Like I would walk into the youth room and before we've really started, when people are getting there. And when I was in high school, that's the time when you're milling around, you're talking to people, catching up with your friends, and they're all sitting on the ground on their phones. It's practically silent. And at some point after a few months, we started a phone jail. So when they check in, I would take their phones. And you would not believe the noise difference in like walking in the room and all of a sudden they're loud, they're talking to each other.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah,
we want them loud.
Had some of them like thank me for taking their phones because it's such a, you're right, it's such an attachment. And when you're uncomfortable, it's something that's comforting. And so in taking that away, it gives them the ability to talk to each other because no one wants to be the one person who's like trying to engage other people when they're all on their phones. But having it taken away gives them the freedom to actually communicate with each other and have that social interaction. It's been so cool to see how this thing that could be seen as a punishment is actually so freeing for them and gives them the ability to make real connection with real people.
Totally. Yeah. I work in a high school, shout out to St. John Bosco Academy, and we have a phone jail. They used to call it a phone farm, and now I'm trying to push phone prison. And it's great. They walk in and they put their phones in essentially like a shoe rack, and then they stay there until the end of the day. And I've worked in a number of high schools that have not done that. And it is it is as if you have, and I don't think that I'm overblowing this, it's as if you have a lot of kids who have a cigarette addiction or a heroin addiction or something, like a serious addiction, in that all they really are doing every moment of the day is waiting for the next opportunity to pull this out of their pocket and get it in front of their face. And removing that from them, I think, is a really beautiful, beautiful thing.
Do you charge their phones for them while they're in the jail?
We turn on all the flashlights.
Taking selfies with every phone.
So throughout the day. Myself and Father Paul,
yeah,
and Coach Lange have gone through and taken selfies. That's with beautiful. All the phones before.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So what about, and no names, obviously, we never want to out any real life human beings here, but what are the impacts that you've seen in your life of our obsession that we have with technology? I can speak a little bit to this. I've got a relative that I'm really close to. I won't say our relationship. Who's an older guy, and it used to be, I would sit down and we would have a conversation and we would talk about a historical fact or something. And we'd get into this long back and forth discussion or this argument or whatever. And we wouldn't be able to figure out the answer to it. And now it's immediately phones pulled out. Something's looked up. Oh, that's the answer, and moved on. And then I still, this older gentleman who should be sitting in rocking chairs, you know, playing with children or, you know, telling lies about, you know, his past, the same older gentleman is staring constantly at a device while I'm around, while my kids are around, while my wife is around, while other family members are around. And it really is sad to me. It really is a situation where I'm thinking, you're gonna, you know, you've got 10, 15, 20 years or whatever left, and you're going to die, and your thoughts are going to be, are definitely not going to be, man, I sure do wish I'd read the news more. I sure do wish I'd stared at my whatever, Facebook more. And I know that kids don't use Facebook, but people in their 60s and 70s, 100% still use Facebook. But personal experiences that you've had with this, because I'm guilty of it as well, for the record. I'm not talking down to anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know personally, I grew up watching way too much television. Still, you could probably say, no, Thomas watches too much football, but now in the day where you can record games and watch it later when the kids are asleep and whatnot, it's a little easier fast forwarding through commercials and whatnot. But I noticed my wife would go to bed and I'd stay up and I'd watch a movie or something for years. And then
it's a long movie, Tom. Yeah. Sorry, that was a terrible joke.
No, that was good. That was good. But then one day I was like, you know what? I need to pray more. And so now I'll like watch something with my wife and she'll go to bed. And then if it's 10 o'clock, like I don't turn anything on or turn things off. And I pray for like the last hour before I go to bed. And I'm seeing like just in my spiritual life, like a lot of growth, like tremendous things happening interiorly that I don't know if it would have happened if I didn't just give that time for my relationship with the Lord. It's been profound.
Killer. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have something, Julian?
Well, it's a little bit on the inverse. And I know you said don't use a name, but I really feel compelled to use a name and give a shout out to my mother.
Awesome.
Because growing up when cell phones started becoming more common and my sisters and I got cell phones, they were never allowed at the dinner table. And we were forced to put them away. If we had friends over for dinner, couldn't have a phone out at the dinner table. And my parents were just very on, like, hey, no, we're going to talk. We're going to look each other in the eye. We're going to have a conversation. And I just want to thank her for that.
That's awesome.
Both my parents, because obviously they both enforced it. But my mom was kind of definitely the driver of that. I was like, no, we're going to hang out. We're going to be here together. Here now was what she would always say.
No, absolutely. And as somebody who works with a lot of high schoolers, my kids are still very young, but you can see in the faces of teenagers, high schoolers, college students, the ones who have a social media obsession or a phone obsession in some way. I mean, there's really like a drain on their whole body. And most of the people listening to this probably don't have kids of high school age, right? Middle school age. But I honestly think the best advice you can give parents is do not give your kid a phone under it. Like, it postpone that as far as you can. Ben, I know that your family is very tech oriented. You're literally running a big board right now, but you don't have a dead, lifeless face. How does that? Why is that?
So I mean, binging and like I guess, technology.
You're binging, and, that's how you...
and phone addiction, like, is definitely something that I've, like, dealt with. And I think it's something every teenager who has a cell phone deals with. It's just this very drawing presence that everyone has it now. But I think my parents did a great job of exactly what you said, like, having set boundaries for technology. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, this is a tool that we can use, and this is a great thing that modern technology allows us to do all these things. And it's, like... how the only reason I've been able to pursue my passion in filmmaking and editing and things like that. But there are boundaries that you should have with this, with these things,
right?
That you shouldn't be using them for every aspect of your life, every portion of it. Like, remember a while back, I was able to buy myself a smartwatch, like, mm-hmm. with a screen on it and touch and everything. And I found myself, like, in class, like, the teachers would, like, see you on your phone and, like, tell you to put your phone away. But they would barely ever notice if you were, like, swiping away on your smartwatch. And you could, like, text people on your smartwatch and things like that. And so I found that I was using my phone less, yes, but I was just replacing it with another screen. So I made it, like, a definite choice to remove that smartwatch and go back to, this is still a smartwatch. It will track my steps and do things like that. But it has no screen on it. It has analog hands. And it, so
this show, this episode of Honest to God is brought to you by Analog Hands. Just, we're not going to go further into that. Just analog mm-hmm. hands in general. On watches, on clocks, analog hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it was those boundaries. And I remember for a number of years, my parents would have us like from like noon to 3 p.m. no technology.
Boom.
We had to be doing our homework or reading or playing outside or doing something. And then at the dinner table, no phones, and no phones in the kitchen before the dinner table. So they had to go away, and you couldn't even have them on your person.
Wow.
Awesome. Like, you'd have to put them away. And that's kind of dwindled off as we've, but now it's like second nature. Like, I wouldn't think to pull out my phone during the dinner table just because I know that we're talking and we're having a conversation that will destroy conversation.
Well, you realize the authenticity of actual human interaction. And that seems so dumb to say out loud that interacting with people is good, right?
Yeah.
Obviously it is. But that is something that we're robbed of when we're so obsessed with this thing that doesn't push us outside of ourselves, but forces us to look inward. All right, we're about to take a break, and we will be right back. Once again, this episode of Honest to God is brought to you by Analog Hands. A big shout out to Zenith Ministries as well. We'll talk more about that in a little bit.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
And we're back. Excited for part two. We're talking about binge watching and tech obsession and all of that fun, horrible, evil stuff. You are listening to AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're here hanging out with Julian and Thomas and Mackenzie and Marissa, and it's a great day. So I actually wanted to read a quote from C.S. Lewis, and bear with me for a minute, but I pulled this up a few minutes ago, and he's talking about masturbation, but I think that it also plays really well into what we're talking about today with tech obsession. So if you'll bear with me for 1 minute. To C.S. Lewis, for me, the real evil of masturbation would be that it takes an appetite which in lawful use leads the individual out of himself to complete and correct his own personality in that of another, and turns it back, sends the man back into the prison of himself, there to keep a harem of imaginary brides, and this harem, once admitted, works against his ever getting out and really uniting with a real woman. He continues, among those shadowy brides, he's always adored, always the perfect lover. No demand is made on his unselfishness, no mortification ever imposed on his vanity. In the end, they become merely the medium through which he increasingly adores himself. And it is not only the faculty of love, which is thus sterilized, forced back on itself, but also the faculty of imagination. He continues down. After all, the main work in life is to come out of ourselves, out of the little dark prison we are born in. Masturbation is to be avoided, as all things are to be avoided, which retard this process. The danger is that of coming to love the prison. Mm. And I think that applies to tech in general. Obviously, mm-hmm. it applies to pornography and masturbation. But I have a theory that is not backed up by anything. I've got a lot of those. But we talk about porn and we talk about that effect on our sexuality a lot. And that's good. We need to talk about how that is emasculating to men, is defeminizing for women, right? It is an attack on our person. But I think when your mind is constantly filled with images of even good things, even virtue, even when you're watching films where the good guys are beating the bad guys and doing things that are good, watching other people do that and getting the same dopamine dump and getting the same excitement from watching others is such a pale, pathetic imitation of even failing to do good things yourself.
Yeah, it shuts your brain off. It lulls us to like this zombie state of passivity, like where we're just not doers, we just become watchers.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not participating in anything. Yeah. We're watching other people do great things. Mm-hmm. And if we look at entertainment historically, you think about the ancient Greeks when Homer comes in and he's, you know, reciting the Iliad or something, mm-hmm. the Odyssey. That was something that happened very rarely. It was an event. It was this big, exciting thing, and everyone comes together to see this. Or the sporting events or the games in the Colosseum or something. These were not every day, always available, right? Like, this is like trying to quit cigarettes while always having a pack of cigarettes in your pocket, right? We get obsessed with these things, and it's so easy and it's so accessible. And it ruins even the good things about television, the good things about media, all of that. So sorry for ranting here to get the show started, but that was on my heart a lot during the break.
I love that. And that, well, that's what media now is designed to do. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have seen that documentary, The Social Dilemma. Great watch.
I have not. Please tell us
about it. So they interview like the person who invented the like on Facebook, the people who were on the ground floor with Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and they're talking very candidly about, you know, their creations, not realizing at the time the effect they were going to have on society. And they talk about how all of these things are built on algorithms. So like if you're on Instagram, it is tracking how much time you spend looking at certain content, what content you most interact with, and then it shows you more of that. So like when you're on YouTube and you watch a video, and then all of the suggested videos, because it's tracking what you watch, and so it's designed to keep you on there as long as possible. And it just feeds in. And when you talk about consumerism, it was making the point in this documentary that if you don't have to pay for something, you're the product.
Sure.
Like your information is being sold for advertisements. That's why it feels like your phone's spying on you. Like these ads mm-hmm. seem so specific to like me mm-hmm. as a person. And it's because it's all designed to keep you in that bubble and like that echo chamber. And then I think like you were saying, your world becomes so much smaller because it's showing you the kind of content that you like looking at. And mm-hmm. then you start to think, everyone thinks like me and everyone sees the world the way I do. And the world is really how I see it. And you don't realize that there is a larger world out there other than just like what your phone is showing you.
Yeah, it's so interesting how all of this technology that's supposed to open the world up is actually doing a wonderful job of like shrinking it down and putting us in our little compartments. Anthony Esalen wrote a great book called Out of the Ashes that I may have talked about
before.
He's
amazing.
He's phenomenal. Yeah. Big shout out to Anthony Esalen. Yeah. I'm sure
if he's
on the show.
Yeah, he's probably listening right now.
I think he is, yeah. But you can call in Big A Dog if you want to. It'd be good to talk to you again. No, I would love to meet that guy. He's phenomenal. But he wrote this great book called Out of the Ashes, and he makes a lot of wonderful points about technology and how it's affected particularly young people. And one thing that he comes back to, going back to the sports thing, is that right now, more people watch baseball than have ever watched baseball in the history of the world. And way, way, way fewer people play baseball than have ever played baseball.
Wow.
And I think that analogy opens up to all sorts of things, mm-hmm. right? It's a pale imitation of a good. Mr. Saviano, what you got?
Well, I love how we started with a C.S. Lewis quote. He's one of my absolute favorite authors. And I'm thinking about the book, The Great Divorce, that mm-hmm. he wrote. And its technology can really be applied to that book because if you know the story, Jesus comes and brings people up to heaven, and they have to kind of let go of a lot of the things that they know about where they're coming from. And when they get there, it's very painful. And for some people that are so used to their phones, just putting it down is so painful for them.
Right. The grass in the Great Divorce, the grass hurts their feet.
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually in the most beautiful place ever. Mm-hmm. It means heaven. That's how he describes it. And there's something heavenly about just kind of putting your phone down. It's not that a phone is bad. I mean, there's probably people watching this show on their phone right now. I mean, and so
you are totally allowed to binge watch the show right now, but then never binge watch anything ever again.
Yeah. Just this show. Binge watch this show only.
And yeah, feel free to just leave it running on repeat too while you put your phone down. That would be great as well.
But it makes a good point too. It's like binging Catholic content, is it really any better than, like, it's kind of better, great. But that All was right. something I follow this account on Instagram. It's called A Catholic Convo, run by this woman, McLean. She was a Focus missionary. Mm-hmm. And I love her platform. She so often reminds you, she was like, if my content does not inspire you to put down your phone and go pray, cool. then don't follow me. And she has this examination of conscience for media consumption, like for consumers and for creators, which I love, because I think even Catholic content creators can get caught up in that whole, like, I'm trying to create content that keeps you engaged with my page, and not really thinking about, is my content actually getting you to leave? Right. Social, like, to leave this space and go pray and encounter God out in the real world.
Well, we're in this situation, right, where we want people to hear this message, right? We want them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We want them to hear that the fullness of faith is found in the Catholic Church. We want them to live authentic, real lives that are going to bring joy to them, not momentary happiness. And the best way to do that is through social media and through all of these things, right? Through YouTube. And that's not good for us. So it's this interesting catch-22.
And this is, you know, also why, like, all the binging, like binge watching and being on your phone too much, that's the bad part, is it steals from the interior life that all Christians must, you know, pursue, you know, speaking with God, praying with him, using our brains to think. Right. And so, like, we like, I'm a content creator, you know, just in this line, like, I run a ministry where I, you know, want to inspire people to discover God, to find the healing that he provides. But it's,
we got to come up with another name other than content creator. Like, yeah. It just needs an adjective or something. Yeah. like a
spiritual content
creator. Yeah. Content, just once again, it seems like, but I make things.
I'm online because that's where the people are.
Right.
So it's,
you,
like,
gotta be.
Yeah, it's like going to Africa to preach, to evangelize. You know, you got to go to Africa.
Sure, right.
They're not going to, like, hear me shouting in
That'd
Atlanta.
Be a fun experiment for somebody to try to build a brand without any online. Yeah. It's like, all right, we've got, like, done. The printing press, Absolutely. And that's it. No, but, like, right now, that's an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Yeah, just by word of mouth.
If you just had, like, people talking, and you could do billboards and stuff like that. Think about how much more difficult it would be to reach anybody with, like, pamphlets.
Would Jesus have a YouTube channel if he was around today, or would he just...
Mackenzie's going to give us her thoughts on that now. Mackenzie, would Jesus have a YouTube channel?
I think maybe, and in moderation.
No, we're not accepting maybes.
Okay.
Yes or no? What do you think?
Then yes.
Okay.
Because I think that he could use it as a tool, and, like, that, like, it still has good parts of it. It's sure. only if
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Misuse it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I don't think that in itself it's bad. I think that it's, like, if you spend too much time or the kind of content that you're consuming. Because I realize a lot of times whenever I'll binge on something, I feel, like, gross afterwards.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you kind of feel like, ugh. But then if you keep doing it, you become numb to that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so then you get trapped, and it very is much like a prison that you're, like, you're a slave to it.
Well, I feel like that the grossness awesome. Just becomes... That's how I normally feel when I'm not doing these things, because binging this or watching this or whatever brings me happiness, mm-hmm. right?
And that's every drug use.
Yeah.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Jesus would have a Be Real. Do y'all know Be Real?
Be Real, that thing where you have, like, 2 minutes to take a picture of yourself?
I think it is the one, like, the best social media, the most wholesome social mm-hmm. media out there. Because, yeah, it literally, if you have it, Once a day, at a random time, everyone just gets a notification. Time to be real. You can take it late if you don't have time at that moment. But it just, it takes a picture from your front and back camera. So it just shows what you're doing.
Oh, that's cool.
There's no filter. There's a very limited, I mean, you can't just keep scrolling endlessly because it's just your contacts, like your friends. And it's just once a day. So you get that taste of, what are my friends up to? What are people doing? But without that curatedness that you get from like influencers and stuff.
Right, that's interesting.
Media sometimes. I love it. I think it's hilarious. All of my teens have found me on there, but then I see what my high schoolers are up to and, you know.
What if you're in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Then don't take it at that moment. But there have been B-reels. Oh my gosh, it's so hilarious that someone posted online. It's like someone, I would not recommend taking them at this time, but it came up when they're at a funeral, when their stove is on fire. There have been some hilarious B-reels.
Sure.
And it's very funny, but most of them, I don't know. Social media can sometimes make you think everyone's living the most glamorous life, and be real most of the time. It's like, this person's at work. This person's, I don't know, walking their dog. It's just normal, mundane stuff.
In the bathroom at a funeral.
Right. Yep. Okay. Taking a dump. Like,
all right,
yeah.
Cool. I hear it. I'm not going to, we don't endorse social media on the show, but it does sound a lot better than the vast majority of stuff that I'm hearing out there. We don't not endorse it either. We take a very Switzerland stance on a lot of things here. All right. So I have a question, Thomas, for you in particular, because Zenith Ministries, can you tell me about what that is really quickly? Because I have a follow up about this in particular, but I think we need some background.
Yeah, it's a Catholic healing ministry where we work with people one on one who need help. Maybe they are experiencing the effects of the culture that have influenced them to, have an addiction of some sort, or maybe they're experiencing depression, anxiety, or they just want to grow in their faith. I've also worked with married couples and just people who just want to learn more about their faith. And it's been awesome just seeing people grow.
So from that perspective, then I want to open up to everybody else, but I'm curious about your opinion on this in particular. What advice would you give to somebody who is struggling with an obsession or an addiction to technology in some way? If I'm listening right now to the show and I'm dealing with, let's take pornography out of it. Let's say I feel like I have this addiction to my phone. I feel like it's controlling me.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice would you give?
The first step is to bring God into it. He will, this is me coming from, like, I was addicted to more than just my phone.
Sure.
I've been addicted to alcohol, drugs. And I started to pray, and like just opening up that crack, like just did wonders. So that's the first easy practice.
And when you say open up that crack, because if I'm listening right now and I've heard 1,000 people say like, I'll pray for you and you should pray and whatever. And if I'm being honest, right, I'm probably thinking, all right, I do pray. I have prayed. I say my little prayer at night, or I go by the chapel. Okay. Right? Like I'm trying. I am trying. What does that look like practically? Like, how do I move past that? Or how do I don't know. Give me some.
No, it's a great question. Advice. So in that prayer, it's more than just like talking to God. Mm-hmm. You got to like think about him, spend time with him, surrender your heart to him and your life to him. And generally try to replace whatever that is you're doing with him. I actually have an ebook I can send to you guys that you could share.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Absolutely. Seven steps to take if you're struggling with an addiction. I usually share that with people. Prayer is one of them. So little spoiler alert. But yeah, so there's a whole list of things you can do, but prayer is, if you're not doing it already, that's the first thing. But if you're already doing that, then keep doing it. Definitely surrender to God and trust. And I love the acronym too, PUSH. Pray until something happens. There's definitely that temptation, like, oh, I'm praying and nothing's happening. I'm gonna go try something else. Or like, God must not love me, or he's not there. But the truth is he wants more of you. And maybe your heart's not in that prayer, or maybe you haven't fully surrendered yourself.
Right. Yeah, I think we all I think we all struggled. I mean, I know that's good advice that I need to hear right now. Mm-hmm. My spiritual advisor and I were talking the other day, and I was telling him about how, or my spiritual director, mm-hmm. and I was having a similar thing, right? I'm praying, mm-hmm. and I'm working through this and that and the other. And he said, like, what's the strategy there? And I said, if I'm being honest, the strategy is, you know, that parable, the guy who just keeps knocking, he keeps knocking. And I feel like eventually God's going to just be like, all right, fine, man. But he said, no, calm down. He wants more from you. He wants whatever. There is a part of it that is knocking.
Yeah.
But I think that's great. We will put that book or ebook in the show notes. So I have a question that I forget if it was Julian or Thomas who brought this up earlier, but we were talking about when we were younger, and I don't know, Mackenzie, did you grow up with, because I am not Thomas is the oldest young adult.
I'm the oldest.
You're the youngest young adult here today.
I was around when Nixon was in
White House. Not true. That is not true. What did you say, Marissa? We were born in the
adults. If you're born during the time that it was the Soviet Union and not Russia, you're just a straight up adult.
Late 1900s. I was born in the late 1900s. Yeah. But when I was a kid, I watched a lot of TV too. We didn't have a computer in the house until, I don't know, I was 11 or something. And the internet wasn't much of a thing. I remember the first time I saw a video game and I got like my PS1. Heck yeah. Shout out to Crash Bandicoot.
Yes.
This show is, this episode of Honest to God is brought to you by the original Crash Bandicoot game, by the way. But how is that different? Because it is. I mean, it seems to be different. I can see a difference in the teenagers that I work with from 12 years ago and today. But what has changed so much in regards to consumption of media that we're seeing all these issues that we're seeing today as a culture? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Why is it that we could watch MTV for hours and hours and hours and hours, and for whatever reason, we weren't dealing with some of the things that are happening right now? Mackenzie, you got it. You're on the spot. Mackenzie's never watched MTV. You don't know what TRL with Carson Daly was like.
I do not know what that is. But
that's amazing.
That hurts. That makes cool. It. Yeah.
She's a young adult.
Yeah. You are. You're the youngest young adult. All right.
I think that sometimes it's because people don't want to deal with hard things. I mean, kind of going back to what we were saying, it's like the soothing kind of thing where it's easy to choose something, like distract yourself with something that's not difficult so that you really, you know, you can keep pushing it off, or you just like can pretend that it's not there or something of the sort. So it's like that type of distraction.
Yeah, I think if by
easier access,
yeah, you're able to access it whenever you want, as opposed to TRL with Carson Daly, which came on right after I got home from school in middle school.
And it's constant. It's not just like, okay, I only get it from this time to this time. It's like, it's 12 o'clock at night. I can't sleep.
That makes sense. Absolutely.
And I think as the second youngest young adult here, even, I think probably if you were to examine what social media and technology were like when I was growing up and when Mackenzie was growing up, even though there's just, what, like 5 years separating, it would be very different because it has developed so fast. Like when I was in elementary school, the iPod Nano was a new thing, and that's what I had. And when I talk to my teens now about like the concept of having to purchase music to listen to it, it's so foreign. And when I think Instagram came on the scene when I was in high school, the concept of influencers wasn't a thing. Like, YouTubers as a career was still relatively new. Like that wasn't, all of that has developed so much in the past few years. And I was even talking about this with my mom the other day that like for her as a Gen X parent, they didn't grow up with that at all. So there was no handbook on how to handle like your kid having social media and how to moderate that and how to teach them how to moderate that. So everyone I've talked to who's my age is like, our kids are never, like, we're not raising iPad kids, and, like, they're never going to have blah, blah, blah.
That's interesting, just the sort of parental ignorance from that generation.
Yeah, because how would they have known? They didn't grow up with it. It was brand new to them, and they didn't know how to teach us how to moderate it because they didn't know how to moderate
it.
So and I think that just created so many of those issues now is we weren't taught how to use it well growing up because how could our parents teach us how to use it well?
And for those who don't know, what's an iPad kid? What would you say?
Oh, I would say just like, you know, those like parents, and I'm not trying to like pass judgment, but give their kids iPads to stimulate that and like to occupy them rather than
We all see it at restaurants when you go out.
Yeah.
And that as part of it, what I want to make I want to be really careful to make sure that what everyone understands what we're not saying is shame on you for being addicted to your phone. And what a lot of this generation, of our generation, and I guess millennials and Gen Z or victims, 100% being raised by people who didn't have any idea. And all of a sudden you're 4 years old and mommy needs you to be quiet for 5 minutes so she can have a conversation. Here, have my phone, and not realizing the stuff that we still don't know. I mean, I think it's going to take 50 years before we really realize the implications of raising up these generations with so much access to so many things, social media, pornography, all of it. I still don't think that we've seen the full effects.
Well, for those who are struggling, like, what are some like good things they can do it instead? What, because I one of the things I noted in that ebook that I wrote is that you have to replace the thing that you're addicted to. You can't just walk away and like be like, okay, I'm all done,
right,
if without anything that's taken its place. So what are some things that, like, I have here, like, books, because books are amazing. I didn't read enough books as a kid. I fake read a lot of books for school purposes.
Even today when I say I read a book, I'm usually lying. I usually listened. I listened to the book.
But I do that too. But I also, you know, I'll read a book.
It's not as cool.
Not as cool.
It's way cooler to read, because when you say I read a book, I picture you sitting in like a tweed jacket by a fireplace reading, as opposed to like in traffic yelling curse words out the window while like kind of paying attention to Brothers Karamazov coming over your speakers.
Something that helped my friends and I in college, which isn't, I think, totally replacing it, but there were a few different times where my roommates and I, we fasted from watching media individually. Like, we could only watch TV or movies if it was in community. So it was still like, we're still watching it, but the point is for us to connect and like talk about it to be an opportunity to hang out. And I think that helped a lot. From, I think binging is usually done alone. And so if you're,
that's interesting. It removes the communal aspect. Totally. Yeah.
So that was so good for us to be like, okay, we're only going to watch something if it's together. And then it drove us into the living room more.
But that's the way it is with a lot of things, right? Like, I've made a commitment recently, once again, going back to my spiritual director, that I'm not going to drink by myself anymore, right? I'm used to going to bed and I pour myself a bourbon and I sit there. But I started to realize that that's a little disordered, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a drink before you go to bed. But I know my personality, and I realized, oh, well, when I'm stressed, I can't wait to have that bourbon. And I just wanted to sort of separate myself from that. So that's the thing I said. I'm not swearing off alcohol forever, but I am saying I'm not going to do this by myself, right? I'm going to use it as a communal aspect, right? Because just like movies, alcohol, a lot of things, cigars, right, can be good in some senses, right? And bring people together. I think it was a couple of months ago, we had somebody on who talked about one of their biggest things they did for their youth ministry in college was they had Bacon and Braveheart night. They would get together and make a bunch of bacon and Braveheart. That's awesome. Absolutely. You're totally allowed to do that, I think. All right, so we are running out of time already, believe it or not. We've got, about 3 minutes left, Producer Ben?
Just about.
So we want to go through the most important part of the show, right, which is you get to answer one of these stupid questions because they're fun, and we like them, and we've gone through most of the popsicle sticks. So I'll start, and you have to pick a hard one. You can't pick what chore do you not mind doing. That's one of mine right now. Big shout out to Loaded Questions Junior, family appropriate question game. Let me see, what is the funniest part of your body? I'm uncomfortable with that one. And I'm gonna answer it. The funniest part of my body, Ben, I'm more comfortable if I just tell you. Cool. The funniest part of my body is my, it's gonna go a lot of ways. Let me see. Oh, I've got a really like under evolved big toe that is super useful. Like, I mean, under evolved, like, not in that it's like small.
A monkey toe.
It's giant. Yeah, but I can pick stuff up. I do that pretty regularly. Like, when I walk around the house, I pick stuff up with my big toe. It's pretty great. It's useful. I've literally like grabbed like when my kids were running the opposite direction when they were little, like grabbed the back of the diaper with my big toe and pulled them back over.
Amazing. So,
you know, I watched a grown man eat tiramisu with his toes.
Ew.
Awesome. Like pick up a fork.
Great.
Like using a fork, but with his toes like 2 days ago.
That what, yeah. In real life or was that online?
This was Mark Andre.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
See, now if it had been on YouTube, we'd say, you know what, Ben, maybe you should move away. But when you watch your friends actually eat tiramisu with their feet.
I didn't ask him to do it. He just did.
Good thing. And we're standing by that here on Honest to God. Julia, what you got?
Do you want me to read all
you
the
pick
questions?
You pick your favorite.
Pick
just
my
one.
Favorite. Okay. Well, since you said favorite.
I like, what is your biggest secret? I just saw that. You don't actually have to do that. You don't have to do that. You pick your favorite.
I know all those people.
Actually, Thomas does know one of my biggest secrets that I want to tell, but I have to. Well, I can't tell yet.
You do not have to share it on the air.
No,
all right.
Okay. No, I will go with, and it's a little lazy, but what is your favorite movie?
Okay.
And there's a reason.
That fits with the thing.
It does fit with it. And for me, it's a trilogy of movies, and it is the Christian Bale
Batman
movies. Yeah. Those really
solid choice.
Thank you. And I love Batman because he doesn't have it, like his supernatural power is his wealth, and he uses it to really try and bring about good.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite.
That's
movie.
Good. I like
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thomas, what you got?
Okay. Well. I don't know. Mine are kind of all lazy. Well, and especially like the one that it's what movie are you dying to see, but your parents won't let you.
That one. Tell us that one.
I see every movie I want to see is the thing.
Man, I'm growing up boring, isn't it?
I know. There's no one making rules to tell them what to do except for me. Okay. How about this? What is the grossest creature in the world? So many disgusting creatures. I don't think
grossest.
Okay, yeah. this is gonna be kind of a hot take, but I think monkeys are kind of gross.
You think monkeys are the grossest creature in the world?
Out of everything,
it's like
sea cucumbers.
It's like okay, think of an animal right now, or like there's that guy who does like goes up to random people and says name a woman, and the person's brain like freezes and they can't name a single
woman.
Yes. It's so funny. So like you say, what's the grossest animal? Like, okay, what animals exist? I have like monkey and dolphin and dog.
It's like an elephant, a monkey, a lion.
Of those three, I'm gonna say a monkey.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like them. I think they're a little too cocky. They're too much like us. I feel like they haven't earned it.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about monkeys. I'm anti-monkey. I'll die on that hill.
Yeah. Okay. Same.
I'm gonna go with, if you could compete in one Olympic sport, what would it be?
Nice.
And I would say gymnastics.
Mm.
Okay. Just like the Why? Little girl heart Solid. In me. I don't know. I always want to do gymnastics and like to flip around.
I think
and...
you have to be 15 and from Russia or China though in gymnastics.
Yeah, but I
you could
don't
be there.
Fit the qualifications.
So this is all right. I know that we're over time, but I want to say this because it's really important. I would love the Olympics. I'd be all about the Olympics if they made one change. Here's what I don't like about the Olympics. Everybody's so good. I think there should be a lottery in every country, and they randomly pick a person to compete in every event. You find out like a week before. That would be the best.
That would be amazing.
Like the Hunger Games, almost.
It'd be so cool.
No one gets killed.
But nobody gets killed.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The average people from each country, who's the most athletic?
Yeah.
That's, like who's the best at their
that's
average?
That's the true.
And there's
part
no
of the
age
Olympics.
Limit. There's no nuts. You could have a toddler who's like in there for the powerlifting competition.
Hey. I feel like that would be like child abuse to put a toddler
in. Yeah, no, but in a cool way. All right, let's go over to Marissa.
But in
Marissa.
A cool
child abuse
way.
In a cool way. Interesting.
My kid would smoke. A lot of people, actually. But okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
I feel like a lot of these are lazy, like you were saying, Thomas. But I'll go with, what word would your friends use to describe you? I think the word would be passionate.
Nice.
If they're being kind and bullheaded or opinionated, if they're not. Like Leslie Knope. I have an opinion on everything. So.
Did you say like Leslie Knope?
Mm-hmm.
Nice way to get a Parks and Rec reference
that.
On the binge watching.
Love that.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.